If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Folks, hang on to your oven mitts. We're here once again with another edition of The Daily Show, brought to you by TRS.biz.
This is The Daily Show.
This week's struggle session. I am the Seventh Son, and I am joined on the death panel as usual by Michael Enoch, Ghoul, Alexander McNabb, and Bulbasaur. And I think we're going to go into the TRS mailbag. Is that right, Mike? We got some correspondence.
Yeah, I wanted to respond to some emails we got. First of all, before that, we got some donations this week, and that was awesome. I mean, we don't get that many donations, but sometimes we do. And I really just wanted to thank, I won't mention their full names, but I will mention their first names. And that is, we got a $77 donation from Isaiah. That was awesome. Thank you, Isaiah. You're the man. And William sent a $25 donation.
Sweet.
And both of those were this week, and that's awesome. So I want to do like a Stephen Molyneux voice, like, thank you so much for donating. But I don't know. I can't really do a good imitation of him. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys. That's awesome. Other people have donated in the past over the last... site is almost 2 years old now. We've gotten about five donations, I think. But we got two in 1 week, so that tells me we're doing something right. And so thank you very much. We've also gotten some recent emails. Christoph from Belgium wrote in to talk about a technical issue, which is that sometimes he says while he's listening to the podcast, his audio player cuts out. Now, that's true. That is a bug in Google Chrome on Windows. So if you're listening to the podcast on Google Chrome for Windows, just use the download link, download the MP3 to your computer, and listen to it. It's just a bug. I'm hoping in the next version it'll be fixed. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing really anybody can do about it. Okay, the second mail I wanted to respond to today was from Simon in the UK, and he shared with us some articles by some really shitty SJW Marxist blogger that he's been feuding with online. Her name is Alexis Delanoir. She's posted several times on your site. Some of you had attempted to engage with her some months ago. The dialogue seems to have ended. She's a student who has studied anthropology, sociology, of course. thinks she knows everything. I've tried to make her aware of the realities, but she genuinely believes that the likes of Boaz, Gould, and Lewontin are genuine scientists and continuously refused to read the Culture of Critique series by Kevin MacDonald. Her greatest weapon, of course, is relativism. And although I have faith in you guys, I feel I must warn you that you are really up against it with this one. She's a sly, cunning, insufferable bitch, and I would love to see you destroy her. Here are some links to articles on her site that specifically involve race. Okay, I want to respond to these. I also want to bring out our nuclear missile of race realism, that is Sean Last, and I'm going to challenge him to respond to these. So I'll get the other two URLs you sent me, and I'll see if I can get Sean to do it. If not, maybe I'll take up the challenge, or if anybody else wants to take up the challenge that Simon laid down.
Something you need to point out is the URL is paintyourpanda.blogspot.co.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose I should have mentioned that. Yeah.
That's pretty much all you need to know right there.
But she actually, I looked at those articles and I read one of them. They're not actually, they're worth responding to. Let me just put it that way. They're full of shit.
I mean, it's a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really sexist thing to do.
Sorry, Southern.
I'm kind of offended by that.
Rural. Red state.
I mean, you're stereotyping women as not being able to think abstractly, and that's kind of fucked up, dude.
Well, sorry about that.
We're more progressive and forward-thinking than that around here.
Where? Oh, okay. So what else we got in the mailbag? Was that all of it?
There were other things, but they're older. Some people have submitted articles. Some people have submitted questions. We were down for a little while because I did not have the password to the SOC email account that I had set up for this. But we can now, you know, I'm going to be going through and responding. I know there are people that have even submitted articles as long as like a year ago. I want to get to all of this stuff and start corresponding with you guys. And I'm going to be doing that in the coming weeks.
Excellent. Good news. So that's the TRS mailbag. I promise we'll have some scatological crazy name for it next time we do it. But we don't yet, so it's just the TRS mailbag. So anyway, the reason for the season. This got pushed back a few weeks, but we're finally going to do it. 9/11 passed by recently, so we really wanted to talk about the general, Augusto Pinochet. If you didn't know, the military coup that put him in power, that was 9/11/73, and it's just a wellspring, just source of leftist myths and boogeyman stories surrounding the event. Alex will be happy to tell you about it, because I believe he spent the last week or so triggering himself with, like, various faggoty British-made documentaries about how horrible Pinochet was and how Chile was just going to be a workers' paradise, and then a bunch of right-wingers and the CIA and Henry Kissinger all got together and fucked it all up, right? Even though he was nowhere near as the high score, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, I spent about a week or so researching this, and I discovered that British people are a bunch of smarmy faggots, and they like to wag their fingers at anything the United States ever does.
Right, because, I mean, you know, they have their empire guilt, and they see us as their bastard child gone wrong, so they love to... Anyway.
They're also just fucking homos. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
If you actually go on YouTube and search for this, it's like 90% of the videos are all British.
It's terrible.
You would be amazed. I mean, every single video is some freaking British reporter talking about the coup.
And then the CIA and Henry Kissinger, they went in and, oh God, the humanity. It's just, it's so...
You pull up the video and immediately some smarmy British accent comes on and you're like, oh God, another one.
Another one.
They're like, they do this with the Palestinians too. Like, they just cry rivers of fucking tears. And Robert Fisk is this guy, I think. I don't know. He might even be doing some of this fucking Chile shit. Am I right that he's one of them?
Yeah. Yeah,
that guy's a fucking...
He's awful.
One time that guy actually... He's another one that I think during the lead up to the Iraq war, he went to Iraq and like a bunch of fucking Iraqis beat the shit out of him. It might have been Egypt. I don't know. It was somewhere in the Middle East. He got the shit beaten out of him in one of these Middle Eastern countries where he was reporting on what evil's U.S. imperialism was doing to them. And then he wrote an article in The Guardian like excusing them for beating the fucking piss out of him. Right. Anyway, go ahead.
So all these docs he's watching are fairly recent, but the talking points like came right out of Pravda like days after the coup, so it's not anything new. The immediate game plan, the immediate talking point narrative was that Allende, Pinochet's predecessor, if you want to call him that, was democratically elected. They were in the process, as I said, of creating a workers' paradise. It was going to be the first time that communism was going to take a country through the ballot box.
Yeah,
I believe that's sort of true. I mean, it just I know you've been reading that book.
Yeah, the book is called Out of the Ashes by James Whelan. It's really good. It starts from the beginning of Chile and goes all the way up until the end of the Pinochet regime. But to say that he's the first,
I mean, he didn't win a majority.
He didn't win a majority at all. He won 36.
He won by coalition.
Yeah, it was 36% of the vote. The right won 33% of the vote, and then another center left, very moderate party. They won 33.
That was the Christian Democrats, correct?
Who did not? I don't know. I guess because lefty's gonna left, they decided to back the crazy revolutionary. Gee, I really love Stalin and I love violence, and I'm buddy buddy with Che and Castro guy. Like, because we all know the left can't into time preference, so they can't back the guy from the right. We can't have a rightist president. Why, that would be worse than starving our own people with crappy policies for the next 6 years. So let's
even
back this
a straight up commie that's going to hand the country over to the USSR is better than like a conservative.
It was just ridiculous. Actually,
it's funny you mentioned the USSR, because there's a point we're going to get to later about that. But I remember discussing with you about how the USSR was going to back them, but figured the region is too unstable and they wouldn't be successful. So they were putting money into Cuba, but they figured that Chile would be a bad investment.
I did not know that.
I mean, that literally happened. There's a KGB agent who talked about that.
That's interesting. When was that? Was that during Allende, before Allende?
That was during Allende.
Oh, wow.
Because after the U.S. contracted everything, they right. approached the USSR, and the USSR did not assist. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Alex.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I understood as well, is that they were looking for assistance from Russia, and Russia's like, you guys really don't have your shit together, so no, it's not going to happen.
Interesting.
The main talking point, obviously, the guy's democratically elected. That's one of the big ones. The other thing is Allende was nationalizing the copper industry, and so AT&T freaked out.
It's the International Telephone Company of some sort. Yeah. Go ahead.
Some sort of mining company over there. American company, actually. So they demanded assistance from the American government, basically knock on the door of the CIA, like, hey, we have a problem. They're going to take our profits. And the CIA mobilized, got in there, stirred up a whole bunch of shit in order to prevent them from losing their hold on the copper mines.
Right. What was going on in Chile? Was there was somewhere in the range of $750 million in private investment money from America, not from the Treasury, just people investing down there, companies. And Allende was not only nationalizing the copper mines, he was concocting some accounting tricks where he would declare all the money they had made in the last some odd years as excessive profits. Doesn't that sound familiar? Global war. So he found that by letting you keep these excessive profits, them nationalizing the mines, they could just call it even. So naturally, you know, you have $750 million of American money down there. Somebody's going to get mad. Somebody's going to say, shit, CIA, is there anything you can do about this? And of course, to the lefty, that's completely unreasonable. It's
totally not unreasonable for the farm where they were seizing land and right. redistributing who was farming. I was reading. I've put all of about an hour of research on the wiki article.
Oh God! All right, go ahead.
And that's the first thing that popped up to me is he was seizing farmland, and I think it was 80 hectares. I don't know what the acreage would that be, but that was the maximum. So he was seizing land, redistributing it to people who had no idea how to use it.
Right.
And then two paragraphs later, it's talking about food shortages.
Yeah.
And, like, really?
These policies were such a disaster. Like, the lefties make a big deal that Nixon had some, like, temper tantrum outbreak. We're going to make their economy scream. Yeah. They didn't need us to make it scream. He was stripping families off their land. So these were family farms.
You're not going to find a video made by a British person that does not involve that Nixon quote about the economy
exactly.
scream.
Oh, everything I've read has that quote in there, and it's they mention it directly in the context economic downturn down there. Like they don't put two and two together about it being the policies they put in place. No, they just jump right to Kissinger and Nixon saying that as if they could wave a magic wand and the economy would go to shit. It's like, no, Allende seized more land in the first few months of his rule than the entire previous administration did the entire time, and they were into like slowly doing socialism. He just like he went so fast that there were actually like bigwigs in China who lived through their revolution telling him, hey bro, you need to calm down, you're going a little too far with this stuff.
How much is a hectare?
A hectare is 2.5 acres, so that means 80 hectares would be 200 acres.
That's not a lot.
So nobody could have more than 200 acres. That's really not that yeah. much.
There's another big talking point I see repeated a lot is the case of Rene Schneider, who was the descendant of German immigrants there. He was a strict constitutionalist. The CIA was like, well, this guy is going to prevent a military coup from taking place because of his strict interpretation of the Constitution. He's not going to have anything to do with military coup, and he will basically stand in the way. So the CIA paid off a group to try to take him out, kidnap him. They didn't pay to have him killed.
Right.
They were paying to have him kidnapped. So on two separate occasions, these attempts are made on this guy. They both failed. The third time, it was also a failure to kidnap, but it failed because Schneider opened fire on them, and they fired back and killed him. thing is, in the third instance, yeah, there's no real proof it was the CIA funded group, because apparently this guy had other enemies. So right. It looks kind of ambiguous as to who actually killed him.
Right.
All went down.
From what happens
that's the
is...
most direct that you get with the American involvement. Like, literally, that's as direct as it goes.
Right. And the funny thing about him is his strict constitutionalist view on things is what led him to be assassinated by the hard left, because he was seen as an obstacle to the revolution, because they were not employing constitutional means to get the Marxism going. So he had to get knocked out of the way, and his replacement, General Prats, he sunk the whole deal for Allende because he was such a sycophant. He totally lost all the respect of his colleagues. Just everybody in the military just hated this guy, because when push came to shove, anytime he had to choose between criticizing his people or criticizing Allende, he chose criticizing his own. And he basically was like, he was forced to resign towards the end. He actually had a really ridiculous situation where this was towards the end. I believe it was in August of 73. Yeah, and the coup is in September. He pulled up to a stoplight, and he was being driven. He's in the back of his town car, or Fiat, whatever the fuck they have down there. he pulls up to a stoplight.
Probably a Mercedes.
No, I'm pretty sure I was reading. They all drive around in these little Fiat shit boxes that look like toasters with wheels. But
commies always ride around.
Yeah, yeah. So he pulls up to the stoplight. A lady recognizes him and sticks her tongue out at him. All right, and this dude he's just as tyrannical and nasty as you can get. He has his driver chase this woman down, cut her off, jump in front of the car. He shoots out her tires and her windshield, takes her out, and has a gun to her head, demanding she apologizes. And
Jesus.
Yeah, and lucky for her, like, there were some bystanders who also knew who this prick was, and they shot out his tire. I mean, he was under fire. He had to escape in a cab. They beat the shit out of his driver. It was terrible. So
this was Allende?
No, this was General Prats, his chief of... He was a cabinet member. He's the top guy in the military. So Pinochet was not the top guy in the military. This was the guy on top that everybody ended up hating because he was such a sycophant. And this is who he got his place when Schneider, who Alex was just talking about, got assassinated. This was his replacement. He actually sunk the whole thing. They probably would have done better with the constitutionalist guy being in the spot.
That's so typical of communist regimes. Right. You get a paranoid tyrant in power. Right. I mean, it happens all the time with communism. All the time.
It's crazy. Because they're trying to put chaos in place, and chaos is what they get. And so, it's just... I mean, that's what this whole thing is about. I mean, ends justify the means when the ends are leftist ends. and what we had here were rightist ends. They basically... Pinochet and company beat them at their own game. It wasn't taking down a democratically elected government. It was... They staged a counter-revolution to their revolution. There was not broad support for Allende's policies or any of the stuff he was trying to do. The big transit strike that gets a lot of play. Like, Alex, did they not bring up... I mean, the transit strike is...
I mean, that was totally a CIA false flag. They funded the entire thing. That strike never would have happened had the Americans not been involved. Gosh.
Right. What the truth is these people were going to have their businesses taken from them. That they wanted to have all trucking nationalized. So you have these little guys that like privately own a couple buses, a couple box trucks, and they decide, well, we're not going to go to work then. And actually, it happened twice. The second one, the big transit strike that happened up until the coup, is where they finally said, we're not going back to work until this guy's out of office. The CIA didn't fund the strike. The CIA provided these people with aid, money, like through third parties to get these people fed.
Right. So they actually did a very left-wing thing, which is leftists love the tactic of the strike.
They love strikes.
When it's being used against big corporations, the evil regime, the whatever, blah, 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 blah. And one of the things that you do when you go on strike is you have alternative means of support.
Right.
So you don't just lose your income. You have some stored up income, or the union or whatever has a fund for people or whatever the hell it is. I guess the CIA was helping with that so that they could continue not to work and get their sustenance somewhere else.
Because what was going on other than that, and the reason it ends up with these strikes is inflation was out of control. Bulbasaur, you said you were reading the Wiki article.
Yeah.
I believe the Wikipedia article, this is stunning to me. They're only willing to admit 140% inflation under Allende, which is that's actually the lowest estimate I've seen.
Well, I mean, you look at the stuff he was doing, and anybody that even sort of entertains adult economic principles, you don't even have to be an Austrian. You read the things they're doing. Not only are they taking away land from people that actually work it,
right,
and giving it to people based on their need, you know, people that don't have the ability to work it. I mean, you go down and you're talking about they democratize university education, making the system tuition free. This led to an 89% rise in university enrollments between 1970 and 73. So you're talking all of these people leaving the workforce and going in and filling up these rooms it's a quality quantity kind of thing. I mean, it made no sense.
Ceteris paribus, if your fucking production drops and your money supply remains the same, prices are going to go out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that's the basic mechanism that was at work here.
Right.
And there were probably other things were happening, but basically they have the same amount of money, production vastly drops, so there's more dollars.
Another thing that comes up is that he raises the minimum tax rate, which it says knocks out about 50% of the people that pay taxes.
Jesus.
Which was a great idea, right? And he also raised minimum wage.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, I keep hearing that you need to raise minimum wage in every country, right?
I mean, he did all those things, but still all the wage and price, all that stuff he did could not keep pace with inflation. So you'd get your wage raised from the state, which normally we look down on that, but then it's not even rising as fast as food prices.
Between 1970 and 1972, minimum pensions increased by a total of 550%. The incomes of 300,000 retirement pensioners were increased by the government from one-third of the minimum salary to the full amount.
That is like... This is like basically literally trying to make the communist dream happen by force in a very short amount of time. I mean, it is so fucking stupid and irresponsible. Yeah, fuck democracy. I don't give a fuck. That guy needs to be taken out. Like, you can't.
Dude, it would have worked if you guys had not taken him out.
It would have worked if everybody just adjusted their attitude and stopped being a human being. Then it would work. If we could get everyone to just stop being an actual human being and have a different set of incentives, then it would work.
Right.
The CIA did everything here. I mean, they pretty much pulled the trigger on Allende. And that's just how it works.
Never mind that union membership under him was only 19.4%, and it only rose to 22% by the time he was done. That's the backbone of Marxist support. Usually, is union labor. You know, talking 20% union labor. He went out of his way many times when he was trying to make his little reforms to avoid having a plebiscite. He could not stand to have his stuff go to popular vote. He knew he didn't have the support for that. So, there's your democratically elected socialism, though. President who knows he does not have support of the people, but he's ramming his shit through any way he can.
In all of the public works projects, all of the, establishment of a system of clinics in working class neighborhoods, 4 million square miles of house building were completed in between 1971 and 1972, compared to an annual average of 2.5 million. here's a funny one. Workers were able to acquire goods which had previously been beyond their reach, such as heaters, refrigerators, and television sets. As further noted by Ricardo Israel Zipper, by now me...
Who? Hold on a second. Hold on.
Shut it down.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry.
Honestly, I don't even have to complete the quote. Like, all I had to say was just Ricardo Israel Zipper.
Ricardo, like, shut it down, Zipper.
He's like an Asian. Also... Zipperhead. But all right. So wait, you're reading from Wikipedia.
Yes.
I mean, am I safe in assuming that the Wikipedia article is like completely slanted left on
oh,
this?
Oh my God. They don't. Yeah. It's bald assertion after bald assertion with no source. And where there is a source, it's somebody else making the same bald assertion with no source.
And it's funny. It's all like, oh, university students could. 80% more people go to university.
Yeah.
Workers had products they could never afford before. And it's like, they're just ignoring everything else. Right. How, like, he's crashing out the entire economy.
Well, these new things that the worker could get, you know, this was all going so well that in 73 they had to come out with these 12 draconian decrees regarding the economy. They had to create a new National Secretariat of Distribution as part of the Economy Ministry. The Secretariat would enter into exclusive contracts with private sector firms producing the basic goods. They created committees of vigilance to enforce compliance. That's always fun.
That doesn't sound ominously.
No, not at all.
Anything like that.
I'm not going to read all the decrees, but I made some bullet points. Number three was direct sale to the public of basic goods. If you're a basic bitch, you need your basic goods. Would be ended. So as would bartering them. You couldn't barter for basic goods anymore. So
yeah, people still do that shit. You can't really enforce.
Yeah,
that.
I mean that's what they had the. That's committees of vigilance for, and they had the parallel police force, the Carabineros, they could send out and do that. So you have the ministry, you have this ministry taking over distribution, no more free market at all, no more black market, and another enforcement arm added on to the government apparatus to crush, you know, any black market activity. Let's see, I liked point number six, their direct control would be established over the quantity and quality of foodstuffs made available to each family, fixed according to their real needs.
Allende also undertook
sand.
Yeah, you need sand. You're hungry?
Here's some sand. This is also from Wikipedia. Allende also undertook Project CyberSyn, a system of network telex machines and computers. A CyberSyn was developed by British cybernetics expert Stafford Beer. The network was supposed to transmit data from factories to the government in Santiago, allowing for economic planning in real time.
And they're just so stupid, these fucking commies. All right, so they nationalized the copper mines. You know what? I gotta open my notes back up so I get the name. The name of this mine is
Anaconda. The Anaconda mine.
No, it's not even. It's the like the spickiest word you've ever seen in your life. It's got 14 syllables. It's got a Q. It's got a CH. All right, ready?
It's like some Aztec shit.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah, exactly.
Start again.
So these commies, they have this mine. I'm just gonna say it. This is the craziest name you ever heard. Some Aztec shit, as you pointed out. The Chuquicamata mine.
What the fuck is that?
I might just type that out in the post for this episode because I have no fucking clue.
It really doesn't matter.
Right,
that much.
I know, but it was the largest
Tenochtitlan mine.
Right, it was the largest open pit copper mine in the world at the time. All right, they nationalized it in 1971, and in 1972, reported its first loss ever. In the history of the mine, it lost. It's a hole with precious metal in it, and they couldn't make money off it anymore.
Because what explains that?
I don't know.
It's probably right-wing infiltrators.
Couldn't
it's the CIA?
Couldn't be missing. You know, couldn't be that people with profit motive aren't running it anymore.
No, that's
impossible.
That sounds like something's pulled straight out of fucking Atlas Shrugged.
It's crazy. It's
actually
amazing.
Is.
Oh, that,
hey,
that worked
while,
out
while
really
we're on
well.
The subject of the British, before I forget this hilarious detail. All right, I'm sure everyone's seen this photo of these fighter jets bombing the shit out of buildings during the coup.
Yes.
Those were Hawker Hunters. They're actually British aircraft. So the country where people today like to talk about this entire coup and wag their fingers, the United States, they're the ones who literally produced the aircraft used during the coup.
They were supplying the Chilean military, I assume. I mean,
yeah, those were for Allende, were they not?
Yeah, they were about 3 years prior, I think. I only watched one of these shitty dildo anti-Pinochet videos on YouTube,
right?
Hosted by some British guy. I don't know his name. It's one of the ones that Alex linked and I watched, and that's fucking rage-inducing, let me tell you.
Yeah.
When he's... there's a CIA, like an ex-CIA director there, right?
Oh,
that's...
Oh, he got... Oh,
and he's
so great.
And they're going back and forth, and the CIA director is just being real about the situation, saying, you know, depending on your national security, people need to be taken out. And then the only response is, at what cost to human life?
What cost? What do you mean?
People die, you dumbass. That's the cost to human life. People die.
Yeah.
And it's funny. That's the same guy. I recognized his voice. He's the one that interviewed Ian Smith during the peaceful transition of Rhodesia to Zimbabwe. And he's asking Ian Smith, "It's, you know, why are you wanting to oppress these black people that want to be want to have participation in the democratic government? You know, people are saying you're a racist, Mr. Smith." And he's just coming back with very common sense. It's like, look, I'm not saying black people can't vote. I'm saying that people have to have a standard of they have to be educated. They have to pass a test. They have to understand. They have to prove that they're not just simply voting based on tribal, you know, the historical tribal nature of these freaking half feral Africans that only that have only been like three generations separated from killing each other with freaking spears and oogabooguing everywhere. You know,
yeah, I mean, or just point out group psychology.
It's like,
why shouldn't everyone vote? Oh, I don't know. Let's think for a minute.
And it's just so insufferable. If it actually is Robert Fisk, I would love to punch him in the face. I hate.
No, just every time I've ever heard him speak. Yeah, he's. Oh,
some people say
if he wasn't already punchable, the fact that he's British.
I hate that accent. Like, and I know I'm coming from a triggering accent myself, but God, just
I'm just glad that Kebab is removing the Brits. I'm just glad about that.
I think that if you guys actually wanted Robert Fisk to get punched in the face, I'm pretty sure he did get the shit beaten out of him by a bunch of kebabs one time when he went there to try and tell their story.
Did it teach him anything?
Christ.
Yeah, that's Robert Fisk. So he really didn't learn
anything. He should go fucking report on ISIS in the field and get his fucking head chopped off, and I would not care.
We're going to behead this one next. Everyone would just pull up fucking popcorn.
Good. Hurry up.
I really would. I would be like, I'm waiting for you to behead this fucking fag. Serious.
And you know what? After watching all of those videos about the coup, I really do think they fucking deserve to be removed by Kebab.
Oh, they're just...
Oh, Britannia.
I mean, really, really, they deserve it. After sitting through all that shit, I have no problem with it at all now. The fact that their entire empire is falling apart and that their native population is being destroyed, and they still, the headless torso that is the British Empire, is wagging its finger.
That's pretty funny in the context of what's happening. But, I mean, the thing is what happened is it's kind of like a reverse of colonialism. Like, they've allowed the feminist element to colonize their own people, which is actually really kind of what feminism does. It's a reverse kind of colonialism.
No. I think they were just playing chicken with the Dildo Express here. I mean, it was just social signaling that led to this kind of situation. I mean, they just kept escalating the dildoism back and forth between each other, and that's where it leads, you know?
Yeah, if anyone thinks that American talk shows are dildo, you haven't seen a thing until you look at what the lovely British people have to offer you.
Oh, God, the BBC is so triggering. Like, and the thing is...
Fucking Doctor Who.
Fucking, oh, God, fucking Doctor Who.
Do you guys remember reading about that show? People, like, go into a box and have sex, and then they come out and talk about it. That's, like, the most... It's, like, just fucking oven that whole fucking studio. Like, and then, like, the first episode, they had gay guys going in there. Hey, they had fucking disabled people going in there.
And then coming
out. Yeah, they come out. So how does it feel to have AIDS?
They literally had two paraplegics go in there and have sex and then come out and talk about it. I did not watch this. I was watching, and then I put it on mute, and I skipped ahead a few times, and I was like, I can't believe this.
Put some Downies in there.
How did it feel? A potato.
We're getting way off topic here. Do we have any more on the coup in Chile?
Oh, we got. I got plenty. There's many factoids that you can toss around that are fun.
I want to ask one question of either you guys that actually know the facts of it. Now, it's been bandied about, and I was under the impression, like, He straight up nationalized like the Coke and Pepsi factories. Am I right?
I didn't see anything about that specifically.
I've heard that he straight up just seized the Coca-Cola.
He seized everything. Yeah.
Now, I remember these companies really objecting. I know that AT&T was. Those were the ones that actually talked the United States government about what was going on over there.
Yeah.
I don't remember any other major corporation being involved.
I've heard that about the Coke factory, and personally, I think that alone is enough to go in full bore.
Don't fuck with our soda, motherfucker.
Just, yeah, do not fuck with our fructose corn syrup, bitches. But back then, it was actually probably pure sugar cane in the soda. But anyway.
Real stuff. Yeah,
I've heard that. We're going to have to fact check that, though. But that's definitely
the thing I mean,
I would not be surprised. I would be surprised if he didn't, because one of the things that these people that are very into, like, Latin American studies and, you know, like, reading a lot of, like, anarcho-communist literature, Noam Chomsky, and a few others that often talk about, oh, the situation in Latin America, where the phrase they love is like CIA funded right wing death squads. Like, I can't remember how many times I've read that in stupid bullshit leftist college kid literature that they hand out to these fucking kids in college.
Like stormtroopers waving the McDonald's flag shooting
I think I was noticing that people have conflated Operation Condor with the deaths under Pinochet.
That's a big thing that the left always does. They think it's part of Operation Condor when it wasn't. If someone wants to explain what Operation Condor was.
Yes, please.
I mean, my understanding was Operation Condor was widespread throughout South America. I mean, this was not just a Chilean sort of episode. It was throughout the entire region. But people seem to want to lump all of those casualties from that in Chile.
Yeah, well, I think Operation Condor was generally an assassination program of Marxist leaders in South America. Am I right about that?
Yeah, they were trying to root out communists. I mean, they were looking...
Right, which I'm fucking all for that.
Yeah, I mean, they should be doing that. That's what the CIA is for.
Yeah, fuck you, yes. If there's going to be a CIA... The job of the CIA is killing commies in South America, as far as I'm fucking concerned.
Yeah, and the other thing that is annoying is they talk about how the CIA was involved down there, and this is bad, and no one says a fucking word about the fact that you had all these commie groups from Cuba over there that were very active.
Right. Those Cubans are allowed to go and try and do undemocratic things in South America, but the CIA, there's not. Meanwhile, they're all fucking, every fucking Latin American and his brother wants to get into our country. Right. Who's fucking trying to get into Cuba?
Yeah. I mean, Allende's bodyguards, for example, those were all trained by Fidel Castro's guys.
Right.
Supposedly, the gun that he committed suicide with, the AK-47, was a gift from Castro.
Yes, it was a gift from Castro. It had a had a gold-plated engraving on it. It was like, to my greatest ally. Aman Shalakha, whatever. It had some kind of like little inscription on it to my friend, to my comrade in arms, or some bullshit.
I wonder where they got that gold from.
Yeah, right.
And that's totally permissible, but you know, if CIA want to get involved, oh my god, that's terrible. But all these other left wing commie groups from other countries, that's fine.
Yeah. So the closest thing to death squads they had was, you know, they're mopping up after the coup. There's upwards of 15,000 foreign nationals in the country, and you know they're not just going there to do the jobs Chileans won't do. These are they're guerrillas. They're fighting. They're revolutionaries. And I should have wrote it down, but I didn't. There was a shanty town somewhere outside of Santiago, which was basically like 60% guerrilla fighters, so that you know they could just be ready at, you know, to be called up from there and cause trouble. It was just, they had people, they were sending in guys from East Germany and Czechoslovakia to the Soviet Union for training. As Alex said, his own Allende's guards were all, Allende had two compounds that he would retire. One was his and one he bought for his mistress, and both compounds had lodging for about 150 irregular, quote-unquote, presidential guards. But they were just guerrillas. And they would come in, they would be trained intensely for about 2 weeks, and then it would get turned over, and they would bring in the next group, and bring them in some more, and bring in some more, and bring in some more. There was something like 100,000 people. That sounds high to me, but I remember reading that. Somewhere around 100,000 people who got some sort of paramilitary training from the Cubans in this program. It's, I mean, it's just crazy. So this
socialism. I mean, you get that. Yeah. You get those kind of reports because right. I mean, that's kind of what socialism's known for. Like right. it goes way overboard, right. and then when it comes to silly stuff, but when it comes to like basic. You know, sustenance is always where they fail. But right. they can definitely yeah. do these grandiose yeah. things.
They can get...
Yeah, they can do, like, an immediate show for it, yeah. but then... Yeah.
I mean, another one to kind of go off track is to mention the mass games from North Korea. You know, look those up on YouTube. I mean, it's yeah. it is amazing what they can do when
but that
you
takes
basically...
all the resources of
yeah,
the whole
it
country.
Takes everything they got. Right.
It takes everything they've got, and you've completely destroyed the spirit of that people. I mean, and you can see it. They're just freaking... They're ants.
Right.
They're like pixies from the Fairly Odd Parents.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Pinochet's military also, in the course of cleansing the country of these foreign fighters, didn't they, like, seize... enough military equipment for like another army?
Yeah, there was arms. they kept finding more and more. What was really getting tensions high, and what a lot of the accusations of CIA intrusion comes from, is that towards the end, the last few months of Allende's reign, the military were doing more arms raids. They were trying to find these illegal weapons, you know, and they didn't realize, whether they realized it or not, I don't know that Allende was cool with these people having these weapons, but they were trying to get all these illegal weapons that were shipped in. And yeah, there was literally enough. Some estimations say there was enough to arm 15,000 men. Some say 30,000. It's hard to know for sure, but it's one of those things. Remember the 6 Guerrillion, the number just keeps going higher and higher. Mm-hmm. The more, you know, you just find more and more of it, but yeah.
Yeah, and an interesting thing about this is that, you know, I have spent my time reading a lot of lefty literature, mm-hmm. and in fact, on this topic, probably much more that I've read has come from the left than come from the right. Now, granted, there's also, you know, a huge ratio favoring the left side on this.
There's more lefty shit out there than there is right.
There's more lefty shit out there on every topic, but on this in particular, right. it's hugely weighted towards that side.
This literally, there was. I don't want to just for once. I literally, like, this book was like it's like a $40 hardcover, or there's a hard to use PDF file, an archive.org, that you can't even, like, it's literally like a photocopy of the book. You can't text search.
Yeah,
it's
like
rough.
Scanned,
and there's like two little articles that get so there's really almost crazy. Nothing to research this on. But anyway,
yeah, there's really very little to look at it from the other point of view. But my point was that one of the things is this commie website that I read a lot. I've talked about it before, and their line on, of course, they supported Allende, the sure. coup was the worst thing ever, blah blah blah. The reason they say that Pinochet was able to do it, of course, whenever communism fails. What they do is they say, well, it's because it wasn't really communism, right?
Right?
So Allende wasn't really communism. He was petty bourgeois, you know, socialist poseur, whatever. He wasn't really a communist. And then they say the reason he failed, the reason that Chile went down to the right-wing forces was because he failed to arm the workers themselves and instead armed... like militias to protect himself.
He did also.
That's like something a petty bourgeois would do, whereas a real communist would just give all the workers weapons. This is really funny considering what the left really yeah, thinks about people other, having weapons.
Never mind, that's factually inaccurate. He did arm workers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't expect them to tell the truth.
No,
but
not
that's,
at all.
The left tries to say that essentially the CIA backed Pinochet, and that's the reason he pulled this off. And Pinochet was pretty much like a lone gunman here with a little bit of the military behind him. And that's not what happened.
It's so rustling.
Yeah, what really happened?
Yeah, so in Chile, you have a kind of a similar phenomenon you have here in the States, where your military is pretty red state-ish. They were pretty right-wing, center-right, as was talk radio, which is pretty funny, I think.
That's always the case yeah. for various reasons.
So they had widespread support, the entire military, pretty much. The only section of the military they were worried about was the Carabineros, because they were created as like a parallel. They were created to be like to have parallel authority with the police. So they didn't really know which way they were gonna sway in this thing, because a lot of that, there was a lot of Allende loyalist commanders in that. But in the end, enough of them went with Pinochet, went with the coup, that it was successful. But yeah, he was not a lone gun. What was going to...
I don't mean to interject. There was another attempted push.
There were a few
in July.
Yeah. Yeah, there was it was the Army acted alone. They just rode in tanks just down the streets of Santiago. It's joked that they even stopped for the traffic lights. I don't know. And that failed. And General Prats that we mentioned before, that put the gun to the lady's head and demanded she apologize for sticking her tongue out, he actually was the hero that day, because he went out in person and forced them to surrender, because they didn't have... Nobody else was ready to go. I don't know who ordered that or how it happened, but basically Pinochet and company were watching that to see what would happen. Allende came out. It's pretty embarrassing for him. He came out and did the whole socialist call to arms of all the workers and the people to come out.
And
nothing happened. It was it was a total fail, and everybody saw that.
It's like what happened at the end of Romania, where Ceausescu tried to rally the people to his side, and they just fucking chased him into a cave and killed him instead of rallying to his side.
I guess shit could have been worse for Allende then. But there was another plot in the Navy, and this is kind of vague. They're not sure who was, like, which tail was wagging what dog. Like, we're not sure if the Navy was trying to create a false flag that would give Allende excuse to, like, do the whole martial law deal. Yeah, like, or if it was a genuine uprising and it was put down by people still loyal to, like... It's like a really vague, weird kind of no one really knows, but in the end it didn't have any. But Chile was, it was barreling towards civil war. Mm-hmm. That's what the whole situation was. Something was going to happen. You could not stop this. You couldn't listen. Something was going to happen.
It's happening.
It was happening.
It was definitely happening. It's sort of funny because, I mean, to go back to what we were talking about with strikes and how, like, strikes are always a favorite tool of the left, and they're always used by the left, and then they, you know, when the strikes are broken by whatever the evil authority is, that's considered a terrible thing. But then, you know, you can strike against a communist government too. Right. And it's funny because that's actually a more organic thing. Like, the left organizes these things from the top down, and they force people out of work if they might want to go to work. Like, unions do this. Like, people are like, no, I want to go to work. I need to feed my family. No, you can't, because we're on strike. And you know, that's how the left does it. It's actually authoritarian and top down, forcing people not to work for some political agenda they might not believe in. When it happens against the communist government, it's actually people that are like, no, we're not going to work because you're taking our property, you're taking our businesses, etc. And it happened in Chile. It actually happened in the USSR. If you remember the Polish group Solidarity, which sounds very leftist.
It does.
But that was actually led by that guy Lech Walesa, who was actually a labor leader striking against the Soviet Union. And then in Venezuela, also, people struck against Chavez, you know, business owners and workers that didn't want the companies and jobs to be communized, to be nationalized for the state. And whenever that happens, what the left does is they quickly turn on the strikers, and suddenly they're not for the working class anymore.
Right.
I mean, and suddenly it's like, oh, these are all being inspired by some right wing reactionary forces that are like behind the scenes manipulating everything. Like, there's no way actual workers of their own volition would self organize to strike against a communist state, because it's, you know, the communist state is the dictatorship of the proletariat or whatever. And it's such fucking steaming mounds of bullshit You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I just absolutely hate that. Like, we do that in America now. It's like everything that's organized on the right is cook money or coke money.
Yep.
And they ignore the fact that most of these left-wing organizations are corporations, and they very obviously get money from very rich left-wing people.
Mm. The only reason the Tea Party even exists is because of coke money. It's not because you actually have a shit ton of pissed-off conservatives. No. It's not because of that. It's because they're just being given money by the Koch brothers, who have some evil, nefarious corporate scheme in mind.
That's just another. It just goes right back to ends justify the means as long as the ends are leftist. I mean, right. That's how
they are. As long as the end is communist utopia, you can do whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this is literally what they fucking believe.
So what do you got, Alex?
Alex,
the aftermath of the coup. Obviously, did all kinds of fun torturing and murdering. Is that correct? What have you got on that from the British point of view?
Well, I mean, there was the
entire, it in a British accent if you can.
There's an entire stadium incident where they had everybody in the stadium, and the poor guitarist guy.
Oh yeah,
was tortured, you know, for singing all those songs about.
He was let go though.
Yeah.
So brutal that he got out and got to go live in England and start a documentary.
And there was the Holocaust there. And
there was an American down there who was a journalist, quote unquote, American down there reporting on this. And he apparently got killed in one of these sweeps up of the communists. I don't remember the guy's name. Do you know his name?
I don't have the name. I think you're referring to the movie. What is it? Missing or whatever.
They made him. They made a movie about him. Of course, Hollywood made a movie about him. His parents went down to investigate and find out what happened. Yeah. And then they tried to get answers from the State Department and from the CIA, and they were stonewalled or something. And essentially, what the CIA didn't want to say was, we knew about it and we let it happen because he was a fucking commie.
Whelan basically dismissed that and didn't have much in it. So, but yeah, he was working for the wrong side and he got killed down there.
He was down there working for the commies and he got killed. I'm sorry, like I don't shed the rivers of tears for this guy. And yeah, it sucks to be his parents. Of course, he's from some fucking middle class bourgeois town. You know, right. His parents actually were able to have some political. And then you know, the Jews in Hollywood make a huge movie about it. Of course,
that wins an Oscar.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, it did.
Yeah, missing
one
Oscar.
Really?
And look, the IMDb describes it, when an idealistic writer disappears during the right-wing military coup in 1973 Chile, his wife and American businessman father try to find him. So he actually comes from money, whoever this guy is.
Yeah. Well, they always do.
Dude, yeah, no. Dude, let me. Communists are not working class. I think we all understand this, right? Like, it's not. All right.
So his name's Charles Horman.
Okay.
What I have on that is we had about
poor man.
I didn't catch that. I have the
he was raised in New York City,
of course,
where he attended the Allen Stevenson School.
Oh,
what a fucking huge shock! So you mean he was actually upper middle class, wealthy? What a shocker! I've never heard of an upper middle class wealthy person from New York City becoming a fucking commie before. Has anybody ever heard of that? It's like totally isolated incident.
What do you think his nose was shaped like?
I think he had the Greek nose.
I wouldn't
think it's a pretty consistent, hilarious political paradox that it seems most people that are more sympathetic toward commie ideals always happen to be more wealthy, and the people that tend to be more into capitalist ideas tend to be not doing so well financially.
That's crazy.
I think it's actually kind of common sense, because I guess when you become isolated and insulated from like
reality. Yeah, no, it makes sense, but it's not how it's supposed to be in the commie doctrine.
I bet it's capitalism's fault.
reading commies try to reconcile this if they ever actually acknowledge it, is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
we'll go back to the Estadio Nacional, whatever the fuck they call it, the soccer stadium where they supposedly had another Shoah. You brought up the Americans. There were 25 Americans that were caught up in that sweep. Within 3 weeks, they were all they were released in like stages. In the final six, 3 weeks later, were let go, and they testified in front of the fat ass lady killer Ted Kennedy of lurid tales. Remember, in the war on women, he's the only member of the government with a confirmed kill. So they testified, lurid tales of torture and executions. It was a huge deal in the international press, of course, when they finally fessed up to the fact they didn't actually see anything. They merely heard gunfire and assumed that they were firing squads performing summary executions. What they actually were listening to was just, they didn't do the coup in one day and everybody said, okay, I guess the revolution's up. We're just going to throw our Cuban guns down and go back to where we came from. No, they heard fighting, like, in the distance.
They heard gunfights.
They heard gunfire, and they assumed that people were just, they must be having another show with all those guns there. So, Well, anyway, they had to admit that they were just full of shit. And of course, and of course, in the international media, the accusation, the initial testimony that was huge news, the, oh, gee, you know, we kind of goofed, that got, you know, no coverage at all. So it just goes out there, and it's part of the narrative, and it's there now. So
and one other thing, just real quick, I want to mention, you were talking about how they went and they testified before Ted Kennedy. Yeah. Who, of course, as we know, is a member of the Democratic Party, or was before he died.
Thank God.
And, well, you know, thank God. I mean, he lived a long life.
That makes me think there's no God.
He is finally in hell. That makes me happy.
That piece of shit.
So it's funny because it's assumed always that sort of like the whole American government is right-wing and is behind this, and to some extent, I guess, John Kennedy was anti-communist, but by this time, the Democratic Party was actually sympathetic to a lot of the left-wing stuff. And I know that when it came to Nicaragua, you know, a decade later, a communist government took over the Nicaraguans. And
what kind of agua? Did you say...
all right.
It sounded like you said Nicaragua. Anyway.
Isn't that how you say it? I mean, that's how I've always said it. Nicaragua.
That's all I'm going to say it from
Should
now
I
on.
Say Nicaragua?
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua. Right. So a decade later in Nicaragua, the Sandinistas take over, and the Reagan administration, you know, somewhat conservative, we don't want to argue about that, they start funding the Contras, right? Mm-hmm. And then in 1982, a law by the Christopher Dodd and a bunch of other Democrats passed a law, it's now illegal for you to fund those Contras. So that led to a whole bunch of other issues. We can maybe even do a whole podcast on it. Iran-Contra sometime, which is one of my favorite topics, and despite everything else Ronald Reagan did, I could kiss him just for that.
Right.
But, you know, so the Democratic Party is not actually necessarily anti-communist, whatever people think, or at least it didn't operate as such during those days.
No, it did not. Yeah. They were direct. Like, another, just to bolster that point, was the day of the coup, wheat shipments from the Soviet Union, they flipped a bitch in the middle of the ocean. They just turned around and went back. This bunch of, they were just sending some food to the suffering Chilean, but the right wing just took them over, fuck them. They spun around and went home. And once again, our friend Ted Kennedy took to the Senate floor to blow V8 and kill a few more drunk girls, maybe, was complaining that the U.S. made a decision to loan, not give, but loan a comparable shipment of wheat to Chile at commercial rates. Not even interest, like, not even aid, just at a regular loan. Like, he was mad that they were going to just loan the shit to him. Food that they need.
Instead of just giving it?
He was mad that we were going to give them anything at all.
Anything at all?
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy wanted to do what the USSR did and just don't send them shit, even though they're starving.
Well, you know, it didn't actually... The funny thing is, yeah, they're starving, but considering the reforms that Pinochet implemented by force, it didn't actually take long for them to start recovering.
Yeah, let's get into that.
That, like, actually the, is kind of...
Actually, there's one thing we need to pay attention to, which was the Friedman-inspired Chicago boys that went over there.
Mm-hmm. And another reason that the left fucking hates what happened.
That's a big talking point about how these guys went over there and enacted this libertarian economic experiment as a total disaster, and it ruined the great socialist paradise they had going.
Yeah, ruined all that fucking sand they were eating.
Yeah.
here's one thing that sometimes makes me wonder, that, you know, sometimes I get a little bit confused, and I think that maybe the Jews aren't a monolith, because you had Milton Friedman going in there and enacting free market reforms, he didn't go in there. You know who actually did go there is Friedrich Hayek. But the reforms enacted were inspired by his theory,
right.
His economic theories.
Right.
And then you have Naomi Klein, who I'm pretty sure she's Jewish, and she of course talks about shock doctrine, the shock doctrine. And actually, no, I'm not pretty sure. I know for a fact that she's Jewish. And she talks about this like this is the most evil thing in the world. So I'm confused. I mean, who's Jewing who here?
You got
well,
me.
Well, to quote, what's his fucking name? Who's the guy that wrote The Turner Diaries? William Pierce.
Yeah.
Someone on his talk show he used to have asked him that question once. Pretty much worded in that exact same way without that specific example. Saying, is it a, you know, are the Jews more commie or are they more capitalist or what's going on? I think he was just trying to get an answer out of him, really. He wasn't asking sincerely. And he said, Jews are both when it suits their purposes. So,
okay, so I mean, we could go further into like what the fuck would the actual purpose here be, but anyway, yeah, no, I do know that that was a big that's sort of a big bitching point for the left is the
economic shock doctrine. Yeah, what were the results of this evil libertarian economic policy after they removed the wonderful socialist communist experiment?
Well, I believe that Chile is the wealthiest country in South America and the eighth wealthiest in the Western Hemisphere.
I believe they refer to it as the miracle.
I think they're drinking Coca-Cola without sand in it.
Yeah, no, it's actually a relatively prosperous nation. I think that their GDP per capita is like $20,000 US, and they have a decent median income and living standards that are, by our standards, would be low, but by the rest of the world are much relatively very high.
That's only because they sold out to racist cheeseburgers.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I know.
It was rocky. The first probably 8 years or so weren't that great, then it started to pick up. They had a banking scandal. There was something in the the monetarist theory that Friedman had that kind of like they had trouble with the banks. But then after the 80s, in the early 80s, it just took off, and things were so going so well that when Pinochet left power. And the Christian Democrats and whoever else, you know, all the moderate left came back. They didn't alter anything that they did. They left these reforms in place. They expanded some welfare crap and shit like that. And tried.
That's not going to crash out an economy,
right?
It's just going to slow growth,
right? In Wikipedia, they actually admit that the Chicago Boys. Economic plans. They were responsible for roughly 60% of the people being moved above the poverty line, and the other, of course, the other 40%. That was the social programs that did that. But if Wikipedia is willing to admit 60%, you know,
that's
do your
huge.
Own math. Imagine what the actual number is that came out of poverty thanks to what the regime did in the aftermath.
But like
now, one thing I wanted to know is like what's happening to Chile now? Because aren't they putting more leftists in? Isn't it going more left over there right now? Or are they actually – because you hear a lot about Argentina going super dildos and Brazil and all those other areas. They're starting to kind of embrace the feminist stuff. But you don't hear a whole lot about Chile.
I think that Chile just had an election, and the center-left party or the progressive, our equivalent of the Democrats, their equivalent of our Democrats. People talk about how they're bringing back what Allende did, but I don't think that they are. I think that they're doing what progressive parties in capitalist countries do, which is a lot of dildos, but not actually trying to implement communism. Like, Allende made a real attempt to do communism.
And that's one of our talking points, is they don't actually try to implement communism or socialism anymore. They're trying to rent-seek up the capitalism. Like,
right. And I don't even, I'm not even going to give them enough credit for being smart enough to know that they can't do it.
Right.
It's just the easiest path. Like, they're not actually sitting down and being like, well, gee, communism failed, so let's just rent-seek off capitalism. No, it's just easier. Like, they're not actually thinking that through.
What I was going to say before was that I didn't really get that far. I was trying to get to the Chicago Boys. I really got up through the coup.
The Chicago Boys thing, that's a really big one, the shock doctrine from Naomi Klein.
That's a whole podcast right there if we talk about that.
Yeah. It creates more tension. Like, I actually saw from a lefty post about this where they were talking about stuff the CIA allegedly did. And it was like, well, they funded this group that paid money to have signs printed out that were opposed to Allende.
Whoop de fucking do.
They were printing out posters against the Yende. I'm like, really? Really? That's the extent of their involvement?
Oh. That's so insane to me. It's like everything. There's such a gut terror. Like, there's such a gut fear of someone that doesn't agree with them actually acting on their beliefs. Like, because I guess maybe they realize how pathetic, you know, they are, how incapable they would actually be, you right. know, to stand up for what they believe in, because they really don't.
The aftermath of the coup, it's kind of like Pinochet acted out on those tendencies that they have, where he decided that he wasn't going to let dissidents speak their piece. And, you know, so they were rounding up people and squashing dissent. And they weren't even doing it as badly as they're accused of, but...
No, they weren't.
It's
yeah.
one of their own tricks. I mean, they were what they were really doing was looking for foreign nationals and whatever that were in country to cause trouble. But, you know, they did fire the entire... everybody who worked for the university system and replace them with military people. I think that's
Dude,
pretty funny.
I would love that. I would fucking love that.
What a great plan that is. Like, that's awesome.
That would be funny just to do for the fucking lulz.
I know, right? The first thing they did at the coup was... you know, you've seen the video of those... what are they? Hawker Hunters? The planes? The British
yeah.
planes?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just bomb the Capitol building that day. The first thing they did was they knocked out all of the... broadcast towers of any left-leading radio station.
Awesome.
It's like, you should just do that on a Tuesday. Fuck it.
Yeah, you should just do that regularly. Just, yeah.
That's behind them taking out all the left-wing academics. Yeah. Like, that's a great start.
This is like, it makes me think
like, that's really where you need to start.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's where we need to start here.
Right. That's what I was thinking. Like, is there a Pinochet waiting? Is there a Pinochet waiting in the wings in our military?
No.
Come on.
Yeah, I think it's... okay.
So I remember the other thing, that the CIA had funded a group that was heckling the left-wing speaking events. That was the thing I felt hilarious. Like, they're paying hecklers.
We had a CIA code pink down there?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I wish that we could be doing that kind of stuff now. I would be happy to sign up to go do that. I would even do it privately. Like, if the Koch brothers want to write me a check, if they would want to write us a check for everything we do on this website,
yeah, right.
I would gladly take it. Let me just say now, for the record, we're not getting money from them. As much as I would love it, we're not.
Oh my god! So let's wrap this up.
Do we want to find out if the Jews were involved?
Yes.
We're right. assuming that they were on every side.
That is a safe assumption.
I actually don't know what the subject is, but we'll just... let's hope that that's what he's going to talk about. But here is our pal with the Merchant Minute.
Do hydrogen bonds cause snowflakes to be six-sided, or do Jews? This is the Merchant Minute. Eric Holder resigned from his position as U.S. Attorney General this past Thursday when the Jews determined that a fresh face was needed if they wanted to smuggle more guns to Mexican drug cartels in an effort to demonize the Second Amendment and blame white rednecks for all the crime. Holder's longtime friend Charles Ogletree referred to Holder's as of yet unnamed replacement with female pronouns, and given the lack of Jewish outrage over his assumption that Holder's replacement doesn't identify as a trans noodle, we can deduce that Ogletree knows the Jews plan to switch from deflecting criticism with accusations of racism to deflecting criticism with accusations of sexism. Alton Nolan, a black Muslim, beheaded a former co-worker and was shot by an evil racist gun nut before he could move on to someone else. Nolan had taken to calling himself Joachim Yisrael. Yisrael. This is pretty much the same as getting a tattoo that reads Shabbos Goy. Mark Zuckerberg is taking some flack for not allowing trannies to use their fruit bowl names on Facebook. This outrage is actually a cover for Kuykerberg's real purpose, which is to force me to give him my real name so he can reveal to my employer that I know what's really going on. And I see the man behind the curtain, and 1776 will commence again if you try to take my foreskin. Leftists from all over the world gathered for the UN Climate Circle Jerk last week, calling for another hose to be added onto the massive Jew nose vacuum that sucks up all our money. The hose will be called a carbon tax. Ban Kike Moon called for an 80% reduction in CO2 emissions, which is only possible if, as I suspected, the Georgia Guidestones are a monument to the Jews' plan to depopulate the Goyim in the Shoah to end all Shoahs.
Come to the castle while yet.
For the rightstuff.biz, I'm Morocco, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
He's all right, that Maracu, isn't he? So, that's your show for this week. I mean, this day. It's the Daily Show, right? Yeah, let's just...
We'll go. The Daily Show for the week.
We'll go with
the Daily
that.
Show weekly.
All right. No. So make sure you join us again for our next struggle session. We're hoping to have for you the Jew and Improved Daily Show next week.
Yeah, we've managed to do keep our time preference low enough that we can actually do one of these every week.
That's right.
On a regular schedule, so...
Let's all say farewell. Oh, and if you don't know, our little theme music, our outro music, that is... It's for the general.
It's dedicated to Pinochet.
It's dedicated to Pinochet. It's
in memory.
That's right. All right. See you next week.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Adiós, mi general, adiós, la página que hoy día se cerró, se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven, los que jamás se han de olvidar.